Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today with me, I have the lovely Beth Bergen. Now, Beth and I met a couple of years ago, and we've just been connected all of this time because I love getting her blogs with lots of great information. A little bit about Beth. Beth is an international life and business success coach and leadership consultant. Beth worked in the public sector for over 20 years while concurrently owning and assisting in the daily operation of three successful small businesses, and has operated her own consultancy and coaching company, working nationally and internationally as a facilitator, coach, speaker, writer, and in business and had the opportunity since 2007. I'm just exhausted reading that, Beth. It's amazing what you've been doing over that time. These experiences have provided Beth with a unique combined insight into and understanding the demands of an executive role and the challenges of all small business operators face daily. And we're just chatting about a few of the more recent challenges that businesses have. Beth challenges and encourages her clients to explore things from a different perspective. A strong sense of self is reflected in the courage she shows while working with the clients, supporting them to make changes to themselves, their teams, and their organisation, which then flows on to the benefits of many levels. Welcome, Beth. You've had such an amazing career and working in different businesses and, you know, working full-time and running businesses. I'm so glad to have you on here because I know there's a lot going on for small businesses, and particular industries are really, really struggling at the moment. Yeah, and it is really tough. And I know that you are really passionate about helping businesses succeed. So first of all, welcome. Do you find, you know, within the businesses you're working with, we'll talk about some of the struggles and then how possibly people can overcome those struggles.
So the sorts of things that I think that, and obviously there's a whole COVID layer, but let's talk about life before and after COVID, and then if we need to, we can add some of those things on top. I think that the real challenge for many people is that they can absolutely get so busy that they fail to notice the things that they are doing really well. They don't actually own the successes that they have so much. And what that results in is that they don't own the skill sets or the potential that they have in their business. And particularly those people who are setting out to establish a business, they feel as though they have to do everything. And of course, what happens is that they don't necessarily do very much very well.
That's a really interesting point, because often they'll say, you know, you have to be, especially starting out a business, you have to be jack of all trades, because often there's a finance issue for it. But then you have to balance that finance with your time, and what does your time cost, doesn't it? Because you've got to try and do something maybe not as well as what.
Yeah, the example that I would give into that space is, and it's an example that has really exploded over the last 10 years or so. Used to be 20 years ago, what you were looking at was, how will I market my business? Like, we talk about working in your business, working on your business, and then managing the money, and getting customers. And so when you were doing marketing, your options for marketing were really quite defined. You either had print media or television or radio as a way of advertising, and print media might have included a flyer. With the advent of social media, the demand on your time to be responding or letting your clients know, your existing and your prospective clients know what you're doing and what you might be offering that they could take advantage of and how it addresses an issue that they have, all of that absolutely saps people's time. And there's a real science behind it. You know, understanding what the algorithms do, there's a real science behind it. So if you're not careful, something like that actually takes you away from where your skill set is or where your passion sits, which is the very thing that you established the business for.
That makes a lot of sense, you know, that somebody is good at a particular skill set, say a massage therapist, then rather than doing what they're good at, massaging, they then, other things are really important, but it does take a time away. And you know what I find with my clients when it comes to a lot of social media, it stresses them out a great deal because they think I need to know how to do this. You know? Yes. And that's different than the word what. They've got this sense of pressure on, I should be doing it.
Yeah. When you, it's one of those things that when you know this much, you've actually learned enough to be really quite dangerous, and without realizing it, you may be negatively impacting on your business or your idea. That's just one example. I think it's really like focus on the things that you can really manage and where your time is best spent, and look at bringing that team around you so that team supports you. Now, I understand that all of those things, you know, when you bring that team, let's use social media marketing as an example again, when you bring those people around you, they're going to cost some money. If you plan to spend that money in a ratio that suits how your business is growing, then that can be useful, and much more useful than trying to do it all yourself, because as we already said, it saps up your time.
And that's a good point. That percentage of, you know, if I start to be successful, then, because, you know, unfortunately, we've all got to learn, but very few businesses are overnight successes. Mm-hmm. They take about 3 years to really at least establish. So as you're working through things, then realizing, okay, I have made a bit of money here. I'm going to invest in somebody, stay on the social media theme. Although for me, the theme is the accountant or the bookkeeper. I will pay somebody to do that as opposed to try and do that myself, because, you know, what would take them half an hour, would take me 4 hours, because it's just, I'm not in that headspace, but let me creatively write a blog and I'm in a different space. So yes, that, and doing it incrementally, I got the word out right, no, but in little steps, let's go that way. That, so you know that when you are, you can afford to pay for the social media person, or you can afford to pay for the bookkeeper, so that you're not trying to do it, but making sure that you build that. Because I think that's part of what people don't do. They try and hold on to, because as you said, they've learned a little bit about it now. Yeah. They want to hold on to that.
And I know with business clients that I work with, when they reach that point where they're able to let something like that go, it absolutely opens the space in their mind for other business possibilities, because they're working all the time with something that they're not actually confident with. So, you know, so much of their time and energy is soaked up to do something that they know they have to do, however, they're not particularly excited about. And, you know, and it actually can have a negative result on your energy levels. But I think also that just flows into, you know, for some people when they're looking to establish a business, particularly let's use the massage therapist example from earlier, they might want to establish a business as a massage therapist. They've got a full-time or a part-time job over here. And so there's this kind of critical tipping point between when do I let the security of this go so that I can actually concentrate on this. And I find that it's an interesting process to work through with clients because they're actually exhausted from juggling their new business with their other job at the same time as they're getting exhausted with that. They're excited about their new business. They also are quite dependent on the income that comes in from the other job, particularly in those early stages. And so, you know, it's about when do you or how do you help them as a coach? How do you and I help them to make that decision about, yeah, we're at that tipping point. We've got to work really hard and be quite tired for a period of time and learn some strategies about self-care and how we can manage ourselves. And we've got to do that for a period of time, but then we have to actually have or go without some things that we might normally have used our cash on.
I found when I was, and I fully get exactly what you said because I did very much the same, was full-time in GM role, then went to a five-day fortnight in that role. And I had the business going initially, but you couldn't put a lot of time into it. When I went to the five-day fortnight, I started investing a lot of time and effort and long hours into getting my business where I wanted it to be. But what I also, rather than treating the income as a necessary, I treated the set income as my investment. So I invested in coaching. I invested in getting the right people to set up the right website, set up, you know, so that was that income became the financial investment into my business. Yeah. So when I was ready to step into it full time, it was ready to go. It wasn't half done, you know, and I wasn't half done. I think that's the important factor, even though, you know, you've been in executive roles, you always need coaches no matter what level you are, and getting the right coaches and using that income as that investment in myself and my business was the smartest thing. So when I transitioned a year earlier than I had planned, and I had a little shove, which is brilliant now. It was, I just don't need to be here dealing with this, you know, that sort of moment. I think we all get to a bit like that. And fortunately for me, I did finish a year earlier, which meant I traveled to Europe for 3 months in 2019, not 20 as planned. And it all flowed very nicely. And we're sitting here today. It's just sometimes, and that's what you probably found that too. Sometimes people need a catalyst, something that,
I agree with that. However, I think that it's important for people right now who may be seriously feeling fed up with whatever is going on in their workplace. I think it's really important that they think seriously before they step away from that to actually set up a business, particularly if they've had a lot of years experience in the work that they're doing, because they could easily change to another employer. They could easily move to another location. This business idea or the idea that being a consultant or working independently or working as a contractor is going to be really a simple thing to establish.
Oh, and we know it's not, don't we?
It's not. And that's, so while I, you know, I think it's that juggle and it's really, it's very individual when you take that step, mm-hmm. and also what you're stepping into. You know, I have one client who's moved into a contracting role with their past employer while they're actually growing their business. And that contracting role now means that there's an hourly rate. The beautiful thing is that they can do that work whenever they have time amongst what's going on with their business. However, they had got the business to a certain point before they did that. And that's the thing, you know, like it's you need to be able to give time to both of them. And what that means, and I come back to this all the time, it's about communication and scheduling. It's about scheduling and communicating. You need to be doing that so you're able to look after yourself, look after those relationships that are really important to you, but also look after both your paid employment and your new business that you're setting up.
Mm, yeah, and it is that balance, isn't it? Yes, I very much agree with you. It's this, with all of the outside pressures that the last 2 years, it could be a very dangerous time to say, right, I've had enough. This is it. You know, that's one of the things when I had my sales team, they were basically working for themselves. You know, every day they had to get up and get motivated and go out and get business. That was what they did. And it's very much like, it's exactly like what you have to do when you're in your own business. Every day you've got to motivate yourself to get up and go and seek business or do business, which is so different than when somebody employs you to turn up at 8 a.m. and then work until 5 o'clock. It's such a different mind space. And unless people have ever done that, they don't get it until they get it. And I don't know. One of the things I help
people, they don't get it until they get no customers or no clients.
Yeah,
and then they go, oh, no one told me I had to keep on doing that. I have 10. I didn't think I needed any more.
Absolutely. Yeah. I work with people and procrastination is the thing that keeps popping up all of the time. You know, it's they need the focus or the you know, and we do a lot of goal setting and planning and things like that to overcome that, and because they then have something to focus on and work towards.
I think too that you know, we've touched on this a little bit in the conversation that we're having, Janine, which is that having I call it a harmony. I actually think that work-life balance is just a crock of shit, to be quite plain. and so I talk about what I call a harmony, and the harmony comes about, or the reason I call it a harmony is because when things are making, they can make different noises. You think about an orchestra, the instruments are making different noises, but they present a harmonious sound. So in our households, let's just imagine that we have two people who are working and a couple of kids who need to get to school. You can't expect that day one is going to be the same as day two and day three, and neither can you expect that week one is going to be the same as week two. And so I talk to my clients a lot about how if you've got open, timely, and timely is the key word, open, timely communication, then it's not a matter of you needing to be at the airport in 25 minutes, the kids needing to be at school in 27 minutes, and your partner needing to be at the office in 32 minutes. You don't have those crisis kind of conversations that really create conflict and stress everybody out. So, you know, this managing your time, sitting down in advance, comparing diaries, looking, overlaying it with what's going on for each of you and for the kids. You know, it's a whole new thing when your kids like are going to school, there are school obligations. When they get a part-time job, that's a whole new overlay, because they can't drive, and there might not be a bus for them to get there, and someone has to go and get them at the end of their shift or whatever it might be. So that whole harmony and knowing that what's going on at work is being supported by what's going on at home, and what's going on at home is being supported by the expectation that people have of you at work, makes it a whole lot easier. And as a business owner, to be able to do that, and also to share with your team that these are strategies that you're using, makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I'm past all of that sort of thing, but yes, the years of the juggle and the balance and the different responsibilities certainly can cause conflict, and if you don't communicate it well. What gets you doing what you're doing? You know, what is your passion? I read a bio, but that's not there.
For me, it's people have come to me my whole life to talk to me about whatever was going on for them, and I hesitate to use the word empathy. It probably would be better to say that I have this understanding. I can put myself in other people's shoes, and my interest in that. And communicating and discovering about people led me to kind of thinking, well, people have so much potential. What can be done to help them achieve that potential? So I started out as a secondary school teacher, and then moved to working with unemployed people, helping them to achieve their potential, and then moved into the TAFE sector, where I ended up being a faculty director, which is very much about mentoring and supporting your teams, which included admin and teaching staff. But for me, it's really about influencing and empowering that change in other people by providing them with some sort of framework that they can be working to, so that they can really begin deliberately stepping towards being the best version of themselves. Recently, I've done a lot around, and this is something I'm quite passionate about. We work a lot with our mental fitness, with our physical fitness, rather. We work an awful lot with our physical fitness as human beings. It's very important to us. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about our mental fitness, which is really our capacity to see the world realistically through a more positive lens. Mm. And so I've done a lot of additional training around that, and it's helping, and I'm working with a lot of clients using those techniques, and it's really helping of people to overcome things like anxiety and frustration and unhappiness, which moves them to being the best version of them, to achieving their potential. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's such an important factor. And, you know, the last 2 years have been extremely difficult situations. Yeah. It's just unexpected that, you know, if you had talked to us last February 2020 and said for the next 2 years you're going to be wearing masks, or people aren't going to be allowed to go some places, or you're going to be locked out, we would have just gone crazy.
You're crazy.
That's not going to happen here at all. And it has happened. So it has really affected business greatly, you know, but it's affected people's mental health. And some people I've noticed have become extremely resilient, you know, that, and I think most of us have. I just have to adapt, you know, eventually you get to that stage, don't you? You just have to deal with it. But I've seen others that have just got, I'll use the word, a funk, you know, and they just can't get past, and that's part of where that procrastination comes from as well. It's just, especially a lot of the clients I work with are in the health business, so you know, basically their business has been shut down by rules that are just made up. So they now can't have clients. So they've done, you know, 20, 30 years of study to become an expert in a field. And so it's really that mental health for them, when they were the ones helping other people, now they're the ones that are in need of it. It's so important to be able to.
And so like mental mental health is a little different from mental fitness, in that for the mental fitness, what we're doing is looking at building people's capacity to respond to life's challenges. So,
some ideas on how you would do that.
So it's really about identifying what are the behaviors that we have that may be sabotaging us. Where does our thinking go to? So it's about helping you to respond to life's challenges with that positive mindset rather than that negative mindset. So, it's about building that mental muscle so that you're able to improve your performance. You're able to look at things. And no one expects, like, it's never about, and you know this, when we talk about taking a positive approach to things or having a positive mindset, it's not about ignoring all of the real things that are happening or the negative things. It's about building your mental muscle so that you bounce back from that quicker. You're still acknowledging, oh, look what happened over there. And then learning a series of very simple processes that shift you into what's called a sage perspective, which is looking at things from a position of curiosity, looking at things from a position of taking action, looking at things from a position of being a little kind to yourself rather than being hard on yourself, those kinds of things, so that you're able to influence what the outcome is. You know, COVID has been the perfect example for many of us of, okay, how do we actually cope? And I was doing a webinar once early in 2020 about exactly this for a whole bunch of teacher aides from throughout Australia. And, you know, one of them said to me, what do I do? You know, my teenager just won't get off their screens. What it comes down to is that it's a whole new set of circumstances. People are being impacted in different ways, so we need to have the ability to, while we give people some leeway, we've still got to have our boundaries in place, but maybe as a family or as a group of people, either working together or living together, we need to sort of not reinvent, but renegotiate what the ground rules are. And you know, what I said to this woman was, are there some things that you need doing? Are there some things that can be done together? Have they completed all their work? Set some guidelines in place so that, okay, when you've done this, and this, and I can see that you've done that, then I'm happy for you to have whatever screen time you need to have. It comes down to, and you would know this as a parent, there are some battles you want to fight and there are others that you just go, does that, you know, that's not important.
No, I really get that. We had a visitor here this morning. I was chatting to him. He's a relief school teacher. And his daughter said, oh, my gosh, we've got 2 extra weeks. What are we going to do? You know, and it's just... And he said, plan your day. So the kids need that structure. So between the normal 9 and 10, it's maths, it's 10s, we're doing some artwork and structure out the day. And she called back and said, it's all working really well. Like, she was using that throughout the holidays also. Yeah. And it's that, okay, then this is the free time. But it's this negotiation, this communication, it flows on to the family, but it's such an important factor in workplaces. I've worked in workplaces where communication just let things down, and particularly when people, you know, different groups of people have different agendas in the workplace, yeah. and different focuses of what they believe that is important and their goals. Yeah. It's the same deal, isn't it? But it's flowing onto the workplace and having
I think too for women, like what really interested me as an observation, and I need to preface this by saying that I've tried really hard not to watch the news or to read a whole lot about COVID, because I have a personal view that a lot of that is very biased and it's fear-based, and yeah, so I choose not to. But what I noticed was that very often it was the women who appeared to be doing the homeschooling, even though perhaps both partners were at home, or both parents mm-hmm. were at home. And I think that whether it's a job that you have or whether you are establishing your own business, that walking the line for women between emotions and logic and what we see as being these traditional female roles, you know, you're shifting from heart to head and heart to head all the time. And you need to make sure that you're actually, again, achieving that harmony, because it can be a really tough line to walk. It also means that often, you know, if we extrapolate that out to how that might be demonstrated in your own business or in the workplace, often women, or some women, and I notice this more in small business owners, some women put up with a whole lot more from their employees than they should, because they want people to like them. They want, and they don't want to have those difficult conversations about performance or about attitude or whatever it might be. So they put up with stuff. So, you know, they haven't got really firmly established boundaries. The other option is that they are real hard ass. They're real hard ass, and you know, so they move too far into heart or too far into head. And I would really encourage people to look at, and this is an awesome opportunity to promote the services of coaching. You know, you need to be able to walk that line between your head and your heart.
Mm. Yeah, and again, that's not something that we go, okay, as a mother, I'm raising, or a parent, I'm raising you to be able to do this.
I'm so good at this. Yeah. It's no training. Come to the head and heart school, and everybody goes, what are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we don't know what to do.
No, yeah. And we need it, you've, there's so many things that we just need to have coaches for, but you know, whether it is your social media coach or your bookkeeper coach or your business coach or your speaker coach or thinking, and this is where we started this conversation right at the beginning, is knowing you have skills that you are very good at, then focus on those. And I'm always one to learn the basics of things, because things go wrong, and if you can fix things yourself, it's always helpful. But don't become obsessed or worried or spend hours. I've got people that I know that to save money have set up their own websites. It's taken them months to do that.
Yeah.
It's like, how much would they have earned if they had gone out and made some sales in that time? And, you know, as a person who coaches in sales, it's one of the easiest things to get people to invest in, because they make a sale, they have business. It's as simple as that. Then, well, the investment's paid off in one go. You know, it's an easy space.
It's
interesting,
isn't it?
But it is.
I think that it's difficult for people to understand that they don't have to know everything. You know, that in fact, sometimes it can be a really good idea to unlearn your way of doing things. I was having a conversation this morning with somebody about traditions, and you know, and these are traditions, and there's all sorts of traditions, some of which are positive and some of which are negative and some of which have no explanation because it's just the way that families have always done things. And I was pointing out to him that on, and then further on we were having a conversation about that's people who say that's the way things happen around here.
Yeah, and
he made a comment that his wife had been asking him why did he do something a certain way, and he said, "Oh, I just told her that's the way that I do it." And I said, based on our conversation, you need to tell her it's a tradition. because you know we fall into patterns and ways of doing things and forget you know that what got us to here isn't what's going to get us to the next step, the next level of success, the next customer, the next challenge for ourselves. You know, we need to keep on growing if we want our staff and our client base to keep growing. You know, you won't transform your business unless you're prepared to transform and grow yourself.
No, that's absolutely. I wrote down a little note before. I meant to mention it when you were talking about turning some negative into a positive. I saw a post the other day, and it was a black and white board thing outside of a cafe, and it said, "Come and have the worst salad in the world, as said by one person on TripAdvisor." And I thought, how cool is that? It was really, really great. You know, it would encourage people to go, "I have to try that now."
I read the other day a piece that a restaurant owner, I think they were in Melbourne, had put because someone had come and complained, like during the very worst of COVID, they're trying to operate, they've got hardly any staff, they're doing the best they can, and this person complained, and it was kind of wonderful because the restaurant owner had obviously decided, you know what, I've had enough. And just kind of went, hey, show some understanding, show some compassion. We were doing the best that we could. You know, nobody else complained. You could have left if you know. And you kind of think, how much time does it take for us? How much time does it take away from good, positive actions that we can be taking to grow ourselves and or to grow our businesses if what we're worried about all the time is what everybody else is thinking?
That's a good note to
you know, and you would know as a salesperson that the latest figure I was aware of, you can please update this, is that people are 11 times more likely to complain than they are to say something positive.
I don't know the stats, but that sounds about right.
It's around kind of, about there.
It's much easier for us. And that's the thing is, you know, I'm very much one for complimenting people. If I've got good service and something's done really well, I had a cancer thing removed off my face, and the plastic surgeon, he was just the nicest guy. His staff were all gorgeous, but they were just so lovely. They fell over themselves trying to help me. They sent out all the information. It was the best service I've ever had from anyone. So I was quite happy to tell everyone about it because it was just, it was absolutely amazing. So I, you know, and if you get good service, you tell people about it. So it's important. Yeah, sounds dropping out there. Is that Beth? I noticed you're putting your headset on. Yeah, I can't hear your voice now. So headset's going on. Yeah, I can hear you now.
I can hear you now, I think.
I can hear you.
Yes.
Very good.
I apologize for that. I'm not quite sure what happened. It just let me know that my system, which is fully charged up, had come off Zoom. So
Okay. Oh, we're all good. Actually, takeaway points. So I always end up with three takeaway points from all of the things we talked about, but anything particularly you want people to pay attention to, listeners?
I think it's about coming back to some of the things that we've already said. So the first one is really big.
Oh, the sound's dropped out again. I can see the lips moving, but there we go. I can hear you now.
Excuse me.
That's the beauty of having everything on hand in the office. You can try all different microphones now. So we've given this one a go. Can you, are you good, Beth? Not quite. Now, as I was talking about good customer service, I think that's such an important factor, isn't it, that we don't just complain when something's gone wrong, but we do put attention when things go right. And Beth's back. So takeaway points.
Yeah, my apologies for that. I don't know. It's changing without me being able to control it, which is crazy. So the first one was be willing to learn how to unlearn. So there's you know, you don't have to know everything. And then when you move to a space where you're willing to unlearn, then you can see the lessons that failing will bring. You know, failing isn't the end of things. It provides a lesson for you to move forward. So that's the first one. The second one is to develop the scheduling and communication skills that you need to be able to live your life in harmony. So be prepared to make a real commitment to doing that, because it will make an absolutely awesome difference both at work and at home, and particularly help you in setting some boundaries.
I've highlighted that word harmony. I just love that word. Yeah, I much better than balance. Yeah,
I think so too. So I talk all the time, you know, like as I said, balance, nut, crooked shit. So and the third one is, and I'm really big on this, celebrate every single success. It's so easy just to get so busy that you forget to do that. Now, really, by celebrating those successes, you're filling up your own tank. You know, you're acknowledging, hey, I did this. You're owning that success. Now, for women in particular, they're not always prepared to do that little bit of a brag. Yeah. You know, we often think that that's a very male thing. You know, we'll look at that. They're being arrogant. They're bragging. Brag quietly, brag on the inside, celebrate. But be really conscious about doing that.
With I run a mentoring group, and that's one of the things everyone's allowed to do in the group is they, you know, what wins have they had and how things have been going. And we also help with problems, of course, but it's nice to be able to go, I've solved five of these boxes of whatever they are, you know, it makes a difference. Absolutely.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, they're so important. So be willing to unlearn, which is such an, you know, because sometimes we do think we know everything. Develop the scheduling and communication for the harmony. And I'm going to definitely put the word harmony in the title of this podcast. So I love it. And reflect and celebrate and continue learning that celebration. That's awesome. Beth, if someone wants to work with you or get in touch with you, how do they do that?
They can email me. It's coach@bethbergen.com. And what I'm happy to do, if they email me and they remind me that they heard me on this We Are Women podcast with you, Janine, then I'm happy to send them a link so that they can find out more about my mental fitness, which has been called Deliberate Reset course, or they can have a complimentary coaching session.
Well, that's great. I'm sure that people will take that up. That's excellent. Thank you. So that's the best way to find you. I know you're on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and everywhere else that people can find you. But
I'm not so good on Twitter. I'll happily acknowledge that. I find it a negative kind of a space to be in a bit. And so I tend to use other areas, but that's just a personal choice.
And just for those people who like me and may spell the name Bergen wrong, is B-E-R-G-H-A-N. So
that's
Bergen.
Yeah. Thank you. That's... I forget about that. Thank you.
Oh, with a surname like Vosper, I always tend to spell as well. And even Janine is spelled differently than most other Janines. Thank you so much for being on the We Are Women podcast, Beth. I've really enjoyed our conversation. Time goes very quickly, as it usually does, and it's been wonderful.
And I apologize for what's going on with my sound. With my audio, I have no idea where that happened, why that happens. I guessed these up specifically. So perhaps I overguessed them. Who would know?
All good. I think it sounds all good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. And a reminder, we're not talking about spelling names. Janine Vosper, JaneNVosper.com. It's the best way to have a conversation with me. Jump on there, book a free strategy call. I'd love to find out what you're doing and find out whether I can help or I can recommend one of the amazing coaches and people that I have come onto the We Are Women podcast. If you love what you hear, I would love a 5-star review. It would be much appreciated. Have a fantastic time, have a fantastic day, and we'll see you or hear you or we will listen to us on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast.
Bye now.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.